Now, people seeking information about their birth, early life, medical information, or who wish to trace their origins are now able to do so on an online system, birthinfo.ie. It went live at 8 a.m. In June, the Birth Information and Tracing Act was signed into law, providing those with questions about their origins access to birth certificates, early life care and medical information, the ability to do so. The following month, a contact preference register was established. This enabled people to register whether they wanted to make contact with birth relatives or request privacy. By September, over 16,600 adopted people, birth parents and other relatives had registered their preference. From yesterday, applications can be made for access to birth, early life care and medical information and tracing services. And around about 230 people by yesterday evening had been registered, and applications were registered, including applications from Germany, the UK and the US. So a seminal day, and a day long waited for by people who have questions about their origins or where they came from or who they came from, I suppose, specifically. With me in the line to talk about this is a man who has campaigned and is continuing to campaign for rights for boarded out people and boarded out children in this county and beyond, James Shukru. James, good morning to you. Thanks for talking to me on the programme.
Good morning.
Now, James, look, you'd welcome this, the new information, the access to information, which is a key right that people have looked for a long time.
Well, of course, but as you know, I'm in a totally different position from a lot of those people that were adopted. But it's the same principle. You know, we all want to know where we came from. In my case, I knew who my mother and father were. I was nearly 8 years old when they left us, but I didn't see them for 13 years. And in that 13 years, we were under the control of the state. Well, over the past 18 years, I have been trying to get information about what happened to us, all the information on medicals and all that kind of stuff. But unfortunately, it came in dribs and drabs. But hopefully now, with the introduction of this, of the birth and information and tracing, we can get, as I must emphasize, unredacted information. The information that I have received previously, you could not make head nor tail of it. It was totally redacted. And now I hope that everyone will have the opportunity of looking at their past information, including birth certificates and so on. And I must say that in my experience, having not seen my parents for 13 years, and this is a bit of advice perhaps from my own experience to people that were adopted that may be seeing their parents, brothers, sisters for the first time. Mm. The furore of it is wonderful. You think, oh my word, I've met my parents. But believe me, it doesn't end there. It's a hard slog. You have to start again, really, to get to know your siblings or your mother and father, even though you may have known them previously like I did. But I must advise people to be careful, to not expect too much, to negotiate with each other. It's building blocks, and it's something that doesn't get sorted overnight. And I know that a lot of people would be disappointed. Maybe their siblings or mother and father don't want to meet them and vice versa. Mm. So it's a scheme that I believe can work. I have actually applied for my past information yesterday, and filling in the online portal is very difficult. I must say it's very confusing. I eventually got through to it, and I submitted my application. I also submitted an application for my brother Michael, who died 30 years ago, because our history is interrelated.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
The questions that on there were very confusing. It asked, for example, a letter of authority from him. A letter of authority. He's deceased. Yeah. And things like that. And even though I eventually managed to submit it, I had to kind of tick boxes that
navigate your way, through it, and it was difficult to approach it for the first time and try and get through. So hopefully they'll work those sort of kinks out, James. But that's a key point, I suppose, a key point of advice from you to people. You have to mind your own mental health, maybe not expect too much, and it can be emotionally, I'd imagine, incredibly draining, that whole process. Now, it can be very rewarding and amazing for people as well, but people need to be careful.
You need to be careful. I mean, in my own case, I knew my mum and dad. I remember them when I first met them when I was 20 or 13 years later. It was such a big rush of blood to the head. But believe me, after a few weeks, you start to ask questions. Why did this happen? Why did that happen? And sometimes they're not the answers you want to hear. And unfortunately, and in my own case, I fell out with my parents quite a lot over this. But I stuck with it, and I managed to build a new life with them. And I mean a new life. It was totally a different life from the one we had up to 7 years of age when we were with them. But it's something you have to work at. And I believe that will apply to every single person that meets their parents or brothers and sisters, grandparents for the first time. But it's something that, after all, they're almost total strangers. And not to expect too much from it. That is my advice to them.
That's a key thing. James, separately, how is your own campaign going, the campaign from your group on behalf of people who have been boarded out? You're waiting to see how the redress programme works out to further your claims or your hopes that you'll be treated in a better way than has been proposed to now.
Well, my campaign is ongoing. My campaign will continue to be ongoing. And as to date, I haven't got anything more to add. I have contacted the department on a couple of occasions with my proposals and my recommendations. I don't get any answers, but as you know, we are waiting for a plan to come out. I believe that the boarded out children would be excluded. I would hope not. Not just the boarded out children, the adopted children spent less than 6 months in these institutions all have a divine right to redress. It's just not giving something away. They have the right to get adequate and fair compensation for the years that my brothers and I and others spent in care and suffered torture and all the other things that would go with that. And even though I have actually recently been contacted by the Irish Human Rights and Equality Commission, they have taken an interest in my case. And they have asked me recently to perhaps engage with other boarded out children and to recommend that they contact them in the hope that, you know, there will be others in the same position that will be considered if this matter were to go, for example, to the Court of Human Rights. Because there are a number of breaches of human rights here, but I'm not going to go into every single one of them.
Sure, yeah,
But you know, we are the bottom of the pile as boarded out children still. We are still not being considered in the redress scheme as it stands at the moment. Maybe it will all change when it comes to before the Dáil, I believe, sometime in October, there'll be another debate. Maybe it will change, but from my own experience of it, I don't think it will. Yeah, but I'm asking the government, you know, I'm urging the government, you know, to act with due diligence by accepting survivors, whether they're from mother and baby homes, Magdalen laundries, or boarded out, to be treated with the respect and the dignity that by extending this redress scheme, not only just to the survivors of the mother and baby home, but to all survivors that have been subjects of the state. And you know, the state know this, that they owed us a duty of care. We were with them. We had no chance of leaving the state. We were kept there. They owe us a duty of care. They have breached that duty, and they are obliged to pay compensation to us. And I can never understand why they are excluding us. There's no exact reason being given. And again, I'm asking all TDs in County Kerry, including independent TDs that I know, to back us in this. You know, I know there are a lot of TDs out there that have put their views forward, but we need more support from them. We need support even from people in Fianna Fáil. As I said to Minister Gorman and Martin, what about if it was one of your family that was in the same position? Would you not fight for their rights? Would you think that they deserve compensation? Because I believe they do, and they know they do.
Yeah, Yeah, I understand what you're saying, and it's an interesting one. We'll keep a close eye on it here, James, but thanks very much for your views and letting us know how your campaign is going and your advice for people who are going down the road now, this newly available road of birth information and tracing. Thanks very much for talking to me this morning.
Okay, thank you.
Bye. James Shooker there from Ballybunion, born out to a family in South Kerry in the early 1960s, continuing to campaign for, he says, proper redress for people in his situation and others, welcoming the new birth information service, hoping it would be unredacted information that people will get, and continuing on with the campaign, as I said, that he got to just a bit of advice for people out there going down that road, that sometimes it's not an easy road and can be emotionally very draining.